Good afternoon, Los Angeles, and all of Southern California. I'm Farley Malaris, and you're listening to Astrological Metaphysical Radio, the phenomenon of the 80s. Also known as the Astrology Hour, on KFOX, 93.5 FM, your talk alternative. TGIF on KFOX, and welcome to Astrological Metaphysical Radio, y'all. Welcome to the Southern Edition from Biloxi, Mississippi. I'm Farley Malaris, your host. Wouldn't that be funny if the Astrology Hour was broadcast in the South? Here we are in Selma, Alabama, everybody. Yeah, right. People are going, what the hell is with Farley today? Dude. Welcome to the Mental Retardation Edition. Yeah, we feel like working today, don't we? Let's all take the day off and meet at the beach. Thousands of people just dropping their jobs. We're mad as hell and we're not going to take it anymore. Boy, there are some strange transits out there. First they throw a Mercury retrograde at us, then they throw a Pluto retrograde at us, then they throw a moon wobble at us. Now Mars is headed for the Saturn-Uranus conjunction. You're wondering who they are, right? We're they. We are they. We are I. Today, it's difficult to say what the topic is today because I'm having a very strange week. I'm a funny guy because I'm blessed, I'll admit it. I am blessed by thousands of people calling me up on the phones, telling me how wonderful I am, how much they love me, and how cute and adorable I am, and all this stuff. And all this wonderful letters in the mail we get. Fortunately, I'm one of those type of guys that's sometimes like a house of cards, where you get all this praise and you feel great, then you get one negative, one itty-bitty negative out of thousands of letters, right? Got a letter from this guy named Daryl, friend of ours, member, right? Totally angry about everything I've been doing on the radio. Of course, I've been getting maybe 200, maybe 500 to 1 in favor of all the shows and the topics. But here's a guy who wrote a letter, very upset, very angry, and very outraged at me mentioning astrology as a science. How could I do that? And the fact that he didn't think astrology correlated, and his girlfriend gave him crystals, and they didn't work. He didn't have any dreams. And I don't know where I'm coming from on this topic. I don't know where I'm coming from on that topic. I'm the type of guy that I guess I got too many negatives a lot of times when I grew up. I think people in my family and in my environment were really quick to point out what was wrong with Farley instead of patting him on the back. Even when I work in the family business, so many times when I would do things like sell a big order or make a big collection or process a major promotion or a marketing job, instead of people saying, hey, Farley, way to go, major pat on the back, that's it, guy, keep it the good work. There were just too many negatives, too much criticism, too many put-downs, always pointing out what's wrong with you and never what's right with you. Today's topic is focused on childhood effects because I feel that children are conditioned many times to the negative. And I think you could zero in on this stuff in the astrological natal chart, which we are going to do today, because I got this letter from this guy, Daryl, real nice guy. And I think I shocked him because when I got the mail, I went to see if he was listed and I noticed he lived about a mile from my house. So I dropped over his house. Now I want you to imagine having Farley Malaris come up to your door and knock on your door. Hey, if you write me a bad letter, I'm not going to come to your house. So don't think this is a way to get me to come to your house. I don't get too many negatives, but I got a negative from this guy. I took some crystals, went over to his house, knocked on his door, and when he came to the door, he said, who is it? I said, it's Farley. And I think he almost fell down when he realized that he got instant results from this letter he had written me, right? And I went in, sat down, talked to him for a few minutes, and told him that I really was trying to do the best I can to put off the most open-minded show I could. And his letter had mentioned truth and con artistry and a lot of times how he felt that I wasn't always being right on truthful with people. And I said, hey, look, Daryl, let's sit down and discuss this and let's see if we can't make ends meet and compromise and maybe come up with a better astrology show. And, you know, I says, hey, are you looking for me? Maybe I should take the show off the air here. He said, no, don't do that, Farley. Don't take the show off the air. Please do that. And I said, maybe there's other things you can listen to during the day instead of the astrology hour, Daryl. Then I walked over to his kitchen table and sure enough, his table was filled with our charts, astroscopes and compatibilities and transits and super compatibilities, and this guy was not only was he upset and angry, he was a card-carrying member. He just didn't see eye to eye with everything I said, and that's just the way some people are. But you know, the funny thing is that he pushed a big button, because when I got that hard letter of criticism and anger, It reminded me of the way I used to be treated when I was a kid. And I thought to myself, wow, am I vulnerable here? I am really sensitive here. Let's go back to my natal chart and find out what's wrong here. And there it was. There was that Scorpio moon in the first house with four squares on it. And Scorpio moons are very defensive. We don't like criticism. And when it's in the first house of childhood, let me tell you, if you have any planets in your first house and they have squares or oppositions on them, then that could be an anchor or a burden that you can carry with you your whole life from childhood influences, usually from the mom, the dad, the brothers, the sisters, or just overall residence and environment, even schooling and teachers. I had one darn emotionally intense childhood. There was even an incident in the seventh grade when there was this guy in our class named Phil Sosnoff that looked a lot like me. And we were sitting in the back of the class. We had this teacher named Mr. King. He wasn't the best teacher. He was like an army sergeant, you know, one of these guys that would clap his hands like this and grab his hand, go, knock it off, guys. And one day, Phil had about seven sticks of bubble gum in his mouth, and he wrapped them all up, you know, chewed them up, and then he put them on his nose. He was clowning around. And when Mr. King looked in the back, he saw Phil, and Phil took it off his nose real quick, and he came back, and he says, okay, Farley, come outside. And I says, wait a minute. I says, what are you talking about? He says, I saw you put that big wad of gum on your nose. I said, I didn't want to tell on Phil. I just said, but it wasn't me. I didn't do it. He says, wrong. Takes me out in the hall. After about 5 seconds of anger, this guy, this big man, 6'4", about 230 pounds, he hauls off and whacked me on the side of the face with his right hand, and I went down, right? Well, let me tell you, I was really hurt. I mean, this is like a trauma that happened to me in the seventh grade. I didn't even deserve this. Of course, I wasn't the perfect student in seventh grade, but it was old Phil Sosnoff that set me up, right? Well, went home that day. Early, of course, I got kicked out of school. Mom said, what happened? Because she saw the whole right side of my face was bright red and bruised. And I said, well, Mr. King slapped me. And she said, what? So my mom, you know, is not one of these mellow, calm people. She comes running to school that day. And there was a really knockdown, drag-out emotional hassle going on between the principal, mom, the teacher, and me. Mr. King died a few years later. Mom said that maybe it was his karma for that to happen. But this is the type of thing that goes on when you have heavy planets in that first house. Or let's say the most important planet in your chart called the chart ruler. The chart ruler, people go, Farley, what is this planet here? Well, if you don't know what your chart ruler is, you've got to be hurting astrologically, because the chart ruler is only the most single most important planet in your chart because it controls your life, the roots, your childhood, where it all began. Now, I'm going to tell you how to find your chart ruler in a second. What I'd like to say, I want to thank Daryl for his letter, because he did touch a spot in my heart, and I gave him some crystals. I hope he's going to have some dreams from them. And of course, I told him he didn't have to listen to the show, and I'm not perfect, but I'm out here trying to make a living like everybody else and doing what I think I'm best at. So I know not everyone is going to agree with Farley, and I'm not asking you to agree with everything I say, because like I say, the things I teach and the things I talk about on the radio work for me. And I'm not saying they're going to work for everybody, but when I sleep with 100 pounds of quartz crystals at night, sometimes with an ounce of quartz crystals, I have magnificent, vivid dreams, much, much stronger than when I sleep without them. So that stuff works for me. When I have meditated, I have visions of God and miracles of biblical proportion. Not everybody's going to have that. I have validated things using astrology that I don't think everybody would do. Maybe Carl Sagan might have a problem doing that. But when I got this letter here, all the positive house of cards, it's funny how Farley appears to be so strong and so powerful and so together. Then one negative, one criticism pushes that major button, that slap from Mr. King, or the put down and criticism I used to get from my family or whatever, and then it all comes back and you start to feel small again. A lot of you are adults out there, of course, but I know if you have this heavy childhood karma in your chart, sometimes you can be reduced to feeling like a little kid again, insecure, lost, nervous, frightened, scared, and that's why it's so important that we plug into the childhood karma. Now, people might ask, why is it that we have such a traumatic childhood karma? Why would we make that type of environment? Well, that's easy. Hey, I would tend to think that I wasn't one of the best parents in past lives. Maybe I was the type of person that was always putting people down and ridiculing them, or quick to criticize instead of praise them, or quick to show them the right way to do it. A lot of times I would want to go out with my dad, and I love my dad. My dad's one of my best friends, and we hang out a lot, and we talk a lot. We have a great relationship. But when I was growing up, this man was busy trying to pay the bills. We're talking about 70, 80-hour work weeks. And when he came home, he was tired, and he wanted to relax, watch TV, and read the newspaper. And a lot of times, he didn't have time for his son. But when he did go out on weekends to play softball with the guys, right, he would drag me along. And sometimes, He would try to show me how to do sports, like baseball, football, basketball. And my dad is like a drill sergeant. This guy is like a Marine boot sergeant. And even though he was a busy man, when I did have contact with him, because my son is square, my first house moon, which can show intense disciplinary in parents, when I did have time with him, he got very angry and frustrated if I wasn't perfect in sports. So all this anger and frustration that built up during his work week would dump out on me. And sometimes I would walk around frightened and even scared or even very, very hateful towards him without him knowing it. At the same time, it was like a love-hate thing. And I never realized why, when he finally showed me that attention, it came across so intense and so angry and so distorted. It's like, so I couldn't swing the bat right, or I couldn't hit a golf club just right. Did I deserve to get screamed at and yelled at in front of the public eye? But that's what happened quite a bit. And that's why I had a Scorpio moon in the first house. Now, a lot of you people may want to analyze your own childhood karma. And now let's take a look and see how we can find, number one, do you have any planets in the first house? Check your astroscope and see if it has any paragraphs that say planets in house one. Like mine says, moon in house one. So you know you got a planet in house one. You got karma in the childhood. You got that. Especially if it says something square that planet or oppose that planet or conjunct that planet in your first house. Now, if you don't have any planets in your first house, don't worry, because everyone has a childhood karmic factor. And that would be called your chart ruler. So the way we find the chart ruler is, first of all, you got to know your rising sign. And there are only 12 possible rising signs, also called the ascendant. So turn to your third page in your astroscope, and it'll say, like it says in mine, ascendant in Libra. So once you get your rising sign down, write it down, like it might be Aries ascendant or Taurus ascendant. Now I'm going to tell you which planets are the ruling planets of the 12 signs, and then you'll know which planet is your chart ruler. Because if you're Aries rising, because Mars is Lord of Aries, then Mars would be the most important planet in your chart. All Aries risings have Mars as chart ruler. Is that clear? All Taurus risings, because Venus rules Taurus, have Venus as chart ruler. Same with Libra risings. Venus rules Taurus and Libra, so all Taurus risings and all Libra risings would have Venus as chart ruler. Then Gemini and Virgo risings all would have Mercury as chart ruler, because Mercury is a bi-ruler, also ruling two signs. Cancer risings, Cancer ascendant, would have Moon as chart ruler. Leo risings have the Sun as their ruling planet chart ruler. And then Scorpio risings have Pluto. You think that little guy doesn't have much of effect? Look out! Pluto chart ruler on Scorpio rising. Jupiter is ruler of Sagittarius rising, so Jupiter would be your chart ruler. Saturn, yeah! Major lesson in life, childhood for Capricorn rising, because Saturn is your chart ruler, karma. And then Uranus is chart ruler for the Aquarius rising. Neptune is the chart ruler for Pisces rising. And there's your chart rulers now for all 12 rising signs. Now, we're going to come back and talk more about childhood effects, which I think is a critical topic. And I want to thank Daryl for pushing my button to inspire this topic. And I hope you're listening today, Daryl. Another thing he said in his letter was, how could you love people you don't even know? If everybody loved everyone we didn't know, I don't think we'd have war anymore. We're talking about a family of man on this planet. We're talking about a bonding between all people that is one, that is a oneness. Now, if you find it difficult to love strangers, then you may find it difficult to love yourself, too. You know, there's a lot of things in that letter that I thought, you know, I was going to read the whole thing over the air, which I may do next week. See how I feel about that. A lot of weird things are going on in the world, you know, and a lot of people are out there claiming to be experts about a lot of things. It frightens me sometimes when I take a look at humans, and everyone appears to be adults, but down deep we all have a little child inside of us that can show up at any given moment. There are a few people that have such blessed childhoods, that had such stable childhoods, they were gifted with wonderful parents, and let me tell you something, you earn this dharmically from past lives. You earn the right to be raised in a beautiful environment, because being a parent is not easy. And you receive the karma of your previous parenthood and past lives depending on when, where, and how you managed your own children. So if you had a difficult childhood, the parents are not the ones to blame, because the karma is always with the self. Just like Jim Dolce, he looks back at his childhood, he wonders too. But anyway, one of the most important things about this particular topic I think you should remember is that everybody does carry around a bag of tricks in their life. And a lot of us have buttons that are pressed that bring this little kid back into focus. And sometimes it's frightening when you're dealing with major adult mature decisions that need to be made, and you're in an emotional or a mental situation where you get a letter or you get a phone call or you get a comment or a statement from somebody around you that pushes this button that brings that kid that you thought was dead and buried, right, up to the forefront. And a lot of it has to do with karma that we brought with us from past lives that we try to absolve in our childhood. But you know what? Many childhoods, because they last for 17, 18 years, a lot of them are like prison camps. It's like being a POW, and we are literally conditioned by the wants and the desires of our parents, because our parents try to shape us, and our parents try to shape our values and try to force us into certain ways of thinking that they think are best for us. Parents actually try to do their best, but a lot of times they don't let the child be fluid or liquid enough. And sometimes if you have sun as chart ruler and your chart is Leo rising, then your father might have had too much of an impact on your childhood. Or moon as chart ruler for Cancer risings, the mother might have dominated your life. I know my buddy Roger Reinhardt, Cancer rising, you can't go nowhere without his mommy. You guys 40 years old. Hi, Rod. But anyway, you take a look at things in your chart like this. Let's say you don't have planets in your first house, but you notice you find your chart ruler and you notice it does have a square on it, or it does have an opposition on it. Wow. See? And squares on the chart ruler will definitely mean that there's an insecurity, a pronounced insecurity in the childhood, karmic insecurity that you bring with you that you hope to absolve before you grow up. An opposition on a chart ruler or on a first house planet can show, wow, that's like being in an alien environment. Sometimes you're in an environment where you definitely do feel like a prisoner of war, and you definitely are the victim of very strange, sometimes bizarre circumstances, even aggression or potential violence from childhood experiences. And you wouldn't believe, I guess you would believe from the news articles, what some of these kids go through, child molestation and the sodomy and all this craziness with kidnapping and children disappearing. You know, a lot of these kids are runaways. They freak out. They panic. Of course, a lot of children can't handle their own childhood karma. And they do have obliterated chart rulers or many first house planets. Like Capricorn risings, if Saturn's your chart ruler, then you got to believe that part of your major block karma in life is overcoming this childhood effect we're talking about today. And let's say you have Saturn in the first house, same thing. Talk about children of alcoholics, children of drug addicts, children of child beaters, all kinds of weird things going on. The hardest thing about growing up in my family, for me and my sister, was that my parents are both very intense and they're sensitive. They're not physical. You know, they didn't hit us or hurt us or beat us or anything. But we're talking about an aggressive, loud family, which means we laughed loud and there was a lot of screaming around the house too. And that's why I don't like screaming anymore. People scream and I run down the hall. I don't want to be reminded of all that yelling and screaming that went on. Sometimes I'll go over and visit my parents. They'll be yelling at each other and I'll get the chills and kind of back out because I get reminded of it all. You can really plug in to a major block of how you organize or try to manage your life mentally and emotionally by remembering the childhood. And then there's people that have Leo planets, right? A lot of you have Pluto in Leo. There's more karma with the family. Or Saturn in Leo, like I have, super karma with the family. Or even planets in the fifth house, which also imitate Leo planets and more family karma. Or an afflicted sun or an afflicted moon, more karma with the father, more karma with the mother. Or afflicted third house planets, afflicted Mercury, or afflicted Gemini planets. Afflicted means squares and oppositions, right? And that would be karma with brothers and sisters. If you have afflicted sixth house planets, you might have been bitten by your dog. It's karma with your pets. You know, you can really zero in on a lot of stuff. Astrology definitely is a map of karma and one fascinating map. And, you know, this show is dedicated to you, Daryl, if you're listening today. I want to thank you for inspiring me. And if you want to write me another letter, you'll probably inspire me to another show. I'll probably come over to your house again and bring you some more crystals, too. I hope you had a dream last night, by the way. I just want you to know that I do recognize a little kid in all of us. And if you try to think that your little kid is stifled or dead or gone, forget it. Because after 18 years of childhood, it's hard to throw that stuff away. And it wasn't long ago. Even if you're 70 or 80 years old, your childhood seems like it was only a few moments ago. Because time is so fleeting for almost all of us. So the little kid does remain. And sometimes you got to respect the little kid in all of us in order to really get along, in order to really understand what life's all about. I think a lot of us get hurt and destroyed. We become vulnerable. We set ourselves up for rejection. We do things in life, right? We react instinctively. We have a lot of these traits, these personality traits from our parents that are dug into us, where we see ourselves reacting as we're older, just like mom and dad did with the yelling and the screaming and the hollering or the hitting or the molesting or whatever. We find we have these same stupid traits that the parents had, and they were just embedded into us. Sometimes we take a look at our lives and we can make a list on one column on the left side, everything mom and dad wanted me to do and be, and then put down all these things in life that they wanted you to do and be. And then the next column would be everything I want to be, a totally new, different list that has nothing to do with the first. You might find out you're a total product of your family environment, not a product of yourself. And maybe that's why you have so many problems, because you didn't really become the type of person you wanted to be. You became a product of someone else's dream. And that's why there's so much anger there. And that's why your buttons can be pressed so severely. Heavy, heavy topic for sure. Heavy topic. And I think it was a little advanced, and I hope you all understood that, because I know a lot of times we do the topic around here that you just need to hear more than anything. With these strange transits out there, maybe this is the one you needed to hear the most. Okay, and another impromptu topic from Farley Malaris. Let's go to Rosa Day, who is another double Capricorn. Hi.
Hi, Farley.
How are you?
You are loved.
Thank you. Really, really. Know that. Let me meditate on that for a while.
Okay.
Did you relate to the topic?
Yes, I did somewhat. I'm a little confused, though. I'm just a beginner with astrology, so take it easy on me for a little while.
Take it easy. What do you think I'm going to do, zap you?
I'm a Capricorn with a Libra rising, so how does that apply to me?
You are. What degree is your Libra rising?
Let's see.
20.
Sure, 20, yeah.
Just exactly the same as mine.
Ah, how about that?
Did you know that?
Well, yeah, I just found that out.
Did you feel an affinity to me?
Yes, actually, I do. That's why I'm so excited to be a brand new member of your club. I'm really excited. I'm just trembling all over.
There's not too many 20 Libra risings running around. So you want me to give you a general scan? Is that what you said?
Yes, please.
Well, you're a teacher and a counselor and a salesperson and a public relations agent with that rising sign. And the 20 degrees of Libra rising is the rabbi degree, believe it or not. It's like a Christ degree. And John F. Kennedy was a 20 degree Libra rising also. And in case you're related to him, you have Venus trine your ascendant. Are you a very charismatic lady?
I hope so.
They find you attractive then?
Yes.
Okay. And you have very intense desires, Mars in Scorpio. And you have a lot of karma here with the men, Mars square Pluto. Do you find yourself getting involved in angry fights with men sometimes?
Well, I used to. I'm glad that's over, I think.
Oh, good. Good, good. That's good, because there could be a secret dragon in there somewhere. And you have real good working abilities. You have Jupiter in Virgo, and you're a real hard-working lady. You could have a very successful business, too. You're shown a strong intellect, and you could be a good astrologer one day, believe it or not.
Oh, that's great. But, you know, my main question was, I've been so involved with the spiritual aspect of my life that I think I've neglected a lot of the other side of me, you know, like finances and all of that. Do I have any good opportunities coming up in that area?
Well, I think after Mercury goes direct, you'll find a lot of things changing for the better for you. You shouldn't find money to be that much of a problem, although lately it might be a little tight for you. Maybe you should take some of the spiritual knowledge and turn it into a career.
Right, that's what I'm hoping to do.
Okay, maybe I'll meet you at the K-Fox party to see what another 20 Libra rising looks like.
Okay, yes, I'm going to be there.
Okay, say hi.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Farley. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. TGIF on KFOX. Good afternoon, Southern California. I think a very vital show today. One of my favorites. And a show that I'm going to listen to in the car on the way home. Actually, I have an audition today. I want you to all pray for me because MTV is auditioning me to see if I want to participate possibly in their dance show with an astrological segment. So at 4 o'clock, maybe you can send a positive vibe into the light for Uncle Farley. And we could have me on television somehow or other here, figuring it out. This is the Astrology Hour, KFOX 93.5 FM, your talk alternative, here weekdays at 12 noon, and thank you for joining us. Let's go to Jenny on line 4, Scorpio. Yo, Jenny.
Hi.
Hi.
Could you give me a general...
Okay, you're entering this midlife transit. Have you been feeling a lot of changes coming up here?
Yes.
It's fun approaching 40, isn't it? Life begins at 40, right?
Yes.
Yeah, well, I think that overall, you could have gone through a lot of changes this last year, especially recently, and you're having a Mars return right now, so you could be feeling very nervous lately. Have you?
Permanent relationship.
What?
When will you see a permanent relationship?
Gosh, there's so many strange occurrences with men here. You're pretty picky, aren't you?
Yes.
And you're pretty independent at the same time, too?
Yes, very.
So what kind of man would make you happy? Do you know?
Rich.
Rich. Oh, that's real good, Jenny. That's real good. You're going to be real happy with that kind of motive, I'll tell you. There's so much karma here with men, it's hard to say.
I've been having a lot of men coming towards me in the last 6 weeks.
Yeah, you have Mars square Saturn.
I think they are not true, you know.
Yeah, I don't know if I could ever find marriage for you unless you went through a lot of changes in your values with men and relationships. I think you'd need a tremendously more spiritual impetus placed on your relationships and not material. Otherwise, you'll be trapped into a major roller coaster of a lot of men and not much happiness in that area.
Oh.
Good luck, hon.
Thank you.
Bye. Mars in Sag square Saturn in Virgo. That's what that is. And it's almost exact, too. Okay, let's go to Caroline on line number 8, a Cancer. Hi, Caroline.
I'm born between 4:30 a.m. and 6:30 a.m., and I have a new friend, 2:25:30, born at 2 p.m., and our childhoods were very different, and I'm wondering if we're compatible.
2:25:30 he was born?
Yes, at 2 p.m. He knows exactly when he was born. I'm not sure.
Yeah, well, your charts are vastly different. I mean, this guy is a Pisces, and you're a Cancer. And you have a lot of Leo Taurus stress, so your childhood could have been wildly, even parts traumatic for you.
Sometimes, roller coaster.
Yeah, we're talking about
wonderful and
a strict environment sometimes and a lot of fun other times.
Oh, yeah.
And he was born 2:25:30, and he is shown possibly a little bit more of a mellower environment with a little bit more, I'd say, reserve parents.
Mm-hmm.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, like, whenever you have Leo Taurus stress, or Leo Scorpio or Leo Aquarius, it almost always creates that roller coaster, and I have that too. It's like I wake up and go, oh no, what kind of mood is Daddy in today? It's like hit the decks. Hit the table, you know? Thank you.
What about him, though?
What do you mean? What about his childhood?
Is he compatible with us? Should I pursue this, or are we not?
Sure you are. Yeah, I don't know. The thing is with you is that you're a pretty strong lady, right? And you kind of, there's things about you that probably remind you of your own mom and dad, right?
Oh, sure.
Okay, so if you can be mellow with him, he likes a nice, peaceful, tender, loving, romantic, cooperative woman. Are you that?
Oh, yeah.
Well, then go for it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm, thank
bye-bye.
You.
Okay, let's go to our next caller now, and that would be Z, I think, on line 7, Virgo, Leo Rising. Is that right? Z, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Thank you for calling.
Oh, thank you. I was interested in the topic, and my question, I sent away, and I haven't gotten the information yet, but I know that my rising is Leo, and I am in the process of attempting to adopt a little boy who is a Sagittarius, and I don't yet know his rising.
Mm-hmm.
But I wondered if you could tell from my chart how that looked.
Well, in order to see what kind of karma we would have with ourselves concerning children, we'd look at the fifth house. And your fifth house is Sagittarius, ironically, and that's what the little boy is. And oftentimes we do find that happening. For example, my mother's fifth house is Leo, and I'm a Leo. See what I mean? And my dad's fifth house is Aries, which kind of rhymes with Leo or goes with Leo, so that's close. A lot of times we do find that the fifth house does control children. Now, Jupiter, in your chart, controls the fifth house karma.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because, let's see, that is Sagittarius's lord. And you have Jupiter in Virgo, and it's early enough, where all these trines from Capricorn would show wonderful positive energy surrounding this adoption.
Oh, great.
This child and you appear to be guides for each other in the past. And as long as you don't try to dominate or manipulate him too much, as long as you don't show too much of an emotional temper around him and try to keep an even keel, this should be a very pleasant experience for you, in general.
Great.
Okay?
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Let's go over here to Jeff in Aquarius, double Aquarius, on line number 1. Yo, Jeff.
Hi, Farley. How you doing?
Fine. Thanks for calling.
Really related to the topic the other day on intuition.
Oh, thank you.
I have Mercury in Pisces and a Scorpio moon with 2 squares.
Am I going to get the MTV?
Yeah, let's hope so. I'd really like to see you on TV.
Yeah, that'd be funny.
I had a question about my solar return.
Yeah. Happy birthday.
Thank you. What Mercury retrograde in the first represented for this year?
Well, a lot of it could stem from dealing with some of your childhood effects, because whenever you have a planet in the first house in the solar return, something from the past is usually triggered. Also, it's a need to be more assertive and more direct and more aggressive, and be careful you don't miss the bus or miss the boat when things need to be said or papers need to be filed or taxes and insurance need to be taken care of. You want to avoid missing deadlines and stuff.
Okay, great.
Okay, Jeff?
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Nice talking to you. Let's go over here to Carol on line number 3. Who is a Taurus Cancer Rising. Hi, Carol.
Hi, Farley.
Greetings.
Wondering if you could just give me a general scan.
Oh, no problem. That's
on career coming up.
Emphasis on career. What do you do for a living?
I'm an attorney.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you were a tax collector or something. Yeah, it's the season for that, you know. You're an attorney, huh?
Yes.
Well, how's business?
Not bad.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I would think that, let's see, Aries 23 is your midheaven, and Jupiter just went over your midheaven into your 10th house for about a year.
Great.
And that usually means the best year in 12 for career. Did you notice a surge in your career lately?
Yes, it's all of a sudden everything's starting to move, so.
Yeah, and you're having a Venus return to boot on top of that. So a lot of creative energy is flowing right now. And right around March, April, and May, you might find yourself busier than you'd ever imagined.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you for very much.
Thank you for what? You little character. See you later. Bye. Okay, let's go over here to Alex on line number 4, a Scorpio Taurus rising. Yo, Alex.
Hi, Farley. How are you?
Excellent.
Great. I'm enjoying your show.
Well, I'm enjoying you.
Wonderful.
Pretty funny, huh? Okay, what can we do for you?
Well, I was wondering if you could give me a general scan.
Well, that sounds easy enough. Anything wonderful happen in your life lately?
Well, I have a new relationship going, and maybe if you could brief me a little bit on how that might be going.
How about a marriage?
A marriage?
I don't know. You've had so much karma with yourself and men. The fact you can hang on to them for that long probably questions you, huh?
Uh-huh.
What's the longest one you've had?
Oh, God, not long. I'm terrible.
About a month.
After a month.
What? A month? Listen to you. It's like you remind me of this guy with his bedpost that has notches on. I'm just kidding. But anyway, it's an idea. If you don't hang on to this one, you are shown very tremendous charisma, and it lasts about 18 months.
Mm-hmm.
So one thing you got to be careful of is trying to choose between men and career, because you could always use career as a cop-out. Well, I can't see you anymore because I'm busy. I got things to do with my career.
Well, that's what I'm doing.
Yeah, I know. So, you know, whenever I see women like you, sometimes I will run from that.
Am
but,
I supposed to choose?
Well, just don't string them along. Let them know from the very beginning that you're pretty much of a short-term lady.
Mm-hmm.
And that tell them the truth, that
yeah,
most of your relationships last about a month,
uh-huh.
And they're all like mini marriages and divorces.
Uh-huh.
So let's just have fun while we can, and when I think it's over, I'll let you know. I'll send you a telegram.
Uh-huh. Well, why did you say marriage, though?
Well, I listen to you. Dream on, Alex. Well, I don't know. You know, I thought when I saw the Pluto trine your Mars, I noticed that a soulmate would probably come into view, or a soul twin, but with Saturn oppose it, you probably would be too insecure to handle it.
Mm-hmm.
you relate?
Kind of. I don't know if he's the one.
That's well, yeah, that's your big question. You should wear a T-shirt that says, I don't know if he's the one, with an arrow that points to who's ever standing next to you. Thanks, Alex. I got to go.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Everybody have a wonderful weekend, and we'll see you real soon. How about weekdays on the Fox 93.5 FM at 12 noon? Have a nice day.